This is the Dr. Chris Lib Podcast. Welcome to a special series called Bone Saws, Bring It Back. The class name for the University of Alberta Medical Class of 2013 is the Bone Saws, and we will have a 10-year class reunion in November 2023. As many people are planning to attend, I'm recording short interviews to help us all catch up. This episode's featured guest is Dr. Eric Stilling. He completed his family medicine residency in Edmonton, Alberta through the University of Alberta. Currently, he lives and works in Calgary, Alberta, in outpatient family medicine clinics and long-term care facilities. All right, welcome to another episode of Bone Saws, Bring It Back. And today we've got Dr. Eric Stilling. How's it going, Eric?
Going great, Chris. Thanks.
All right, so why don't you start us off? Give us a summary of where your career has taken you.
So after med school, I did residency at the U of A in Edmonton and had a great experience there in the family medicine program. And then when I finished, I had the sort of call to come back home to Calgary and thought it'd be a new sort of adventure and see how things are down south. So I came back here and I sort of dabbled in a few different areas. I did some walk-ins. I did locums for various physicians around the city. I did some rural locums as well, and interspersing that with some travel in the sort of very cliche family med way, which was amazing. And so I did that for several years and sort of ended up settling into two clinics where I'm actually still working at these two clinics. And so I've been at both of those for about 7 years now. And over that time, I've essentially become a permanent locum, especially at one clinic. All of these clinics I've sort of settled into are long-term, you know, 35-year in-practice physicians who definitely need help. And so it's cool to see that, you know, enter into that, see that relationship between the patients and their long-term doctors. And then I'm sort of like the new consultant, new family med face that these patients haven't seen a different family doctor in, you know, 30 years. So I add a bit of a fresh spice or something to their lives. But then it's also helped those doctors to sort of stay going, stay in practice, and stay at least a little bit less stressed. So that's sort of what I've been up to. And then in the past couple of years, I've got into long-term care. So I work at a few different long-term care facilities in Calgary, which has been great and very rewarding. And yeah, so it's a nice balance of doing bread and butter family medicine, all aspects of care, all ages, and a couple different environments now. So yeah, it keeps me busy and it's quite fun.
Nice. It's nice that you have found different places to work in. And so it leads to the next question is that from your vantage point in your specialty, what would you say is the state of medicine / healthcare?
I mean, I don't think it's too hard to say that our healthcare system's in crisis, especially from a primary care perspective. And, you know, especially with what I've been doing with working a few different contexts, everywhere seems like it's stretched. All the doctors are clamoring, you know, when someone finds out I'm a locum, for example, the first question is, oh, are you available? And sort of conversely, if I'm walking down the street and some random person hears I'm a family doctor, they're like, are you accepting patients? Are you accepting patients? Because there's definitely, I would call it, well, there's a big supply demand problem right now. And a lot of that's demographic, things out of the control of anyone really. Like, you know, we do see this in many industries. It's in education, it's in obviously in health, but you know, I'm sure you would see this too when you have your spectrum of patients. No matter what job people are in, they seem to be stressed. They seem to say it's the worst it's been. So there's sort of longer term societal things, and you have all the baby boomers retiring, and there's us. Well, I'm a millennial. You know, us guys who are supposed to pick up the slack, and we're all sort of not doing the same sort of practice profile as the older generations. And I have some family members who trained back in the 80s, who were in the healthcare system, and their training sort of a completely different thing that they went through than we went through, in good and bad ways. You know, we definitely improved some things and other things we've lost. So I sort of equate how we are now almost to like a sick patient, like a diabetic who there's a lot of things over the years that get worse and worse and worse, and you don't think there's a problem. You know, you're like, oh, it's okay. I'll have that extra big thing of Pepsi. But then it slowly eventually reaches a point where, okay, now all the systems start going down. Your kidneys go down, your vision, your all this sort of stuff. And so I think that's happening in our healthcare system. And I don't know, sometimes it has to get so bad before, or you have to hit rock bottom, so to speak, before you realize that, really realize there's a problem. And so I don't know, I'm like a realist, but also an optimist. Like, I think everything's going to collapse in a certain way, but then there'll be this rebirth, like, you know, the phoenix rising from the ashes. And I know, like, our generation and our classmates, there's so many smart people who are so committed that we'll find solutions. But definitely right now, there's just everywhere you look, there's challenges. And I hope we're up to it. I think we are.
Well, I mean, let's pull on that thread as you are talking about being the optimist. What excites you the most about your area of medicine?
To me, it's sort of the day-to-day being in the room with the patient, that one-on-one doctor-patient relationship. I sort of think about it sometimes like, and you might appreciate this, like music, like playing music, where you're listening to them, they're listening to you, you're feeding back things to them, they're feeding things back to you, and you're trying to make good music, so to speak. Or this would maybe fit with our class, because we were known as the, you know, fun but dumb class or whatever, but we would always have these great dance parties. And, you know, no matter where we went, everyone would be there, everyone's interacting with everybody else. And so I sort of find, like, family medicine is when a patient walks in the room, it's sort of like a new song, and you're trying to do this dance, and when you know you're doing it right, you sort of lose yourself in it, and suddenly the day goes by, and every new song's like a new patient, and there's different styles. There's sad songs, there's happy songs, there's like kids songs like Baby Shark, that, and you can dance to it all. But, and then you suddenly go, oh, the day's gone. And then, you know, you have paperwork, and that's not as much fun. But the moments with the patients, that's what it's all about. And then you extend that over time. And now we're far enough into our careers where you get the payoff, like 4 years later, you've been working with someone for 5 years, and suddenly there's a million examples of great things that can happen, or you know them, and then bad things happen, but you can be with them, and that's the payoff. So it's like patience for the payoff. So that excites me, just day to day, the flow.
And that's such a poetic description of, I think, what people can have in family medicine if enough of that time has been put into it. Because if everything is solely episodic, and even in a case like comes across a little transactional, then it's just done. But I think what you're saying is you're right, because you're listening and you're interacting and receiving. They're receiving from you, you're receiving from them. And I like your imagery that you provided of the flow that comes. And I'd love to unpack that more, but let's just pivot a little bit. You know, we were in med school together, and just so many things that we've done together. And so the question to ask is, what's your favorite memory from medical school?
So I'll use a cop-out answer again, and I'll say that the gestalt of it all. So like the emergent property, because there were so many amazing memories. So I'll just pop off a couple because they come to my mind. Ice Bowl, I found, was great. Always this thing to look forward to every year. And to be part of the start of the U of A dynasty of winning the Ice Bowl was great. But then I just think of all our block parties where everyone would show up. We'd have all these great times, our trips we would do. Med Night was amazing. And the process of doing all the stuff to make Med Night was great. And then I even think back to, like, I actually like DL a lot, and being in the small groups and interacting with all our classmates, because you don't have a chance to always, you know, you have your super closest friends, it's inherent. But I found you got to really know everyone's personalities and be problem solving together. And so I thought it was just a cool environment. And then there's all these small and big moments that I won't bore you with, because I'm already blabbing a bit.
Okay, well then let's go to our last question, which is, what would you tell your younger med school version of yourself?
I mean, my head's going very literal right now and thinking about time travel and quantum physics and stuff. But I think the impetus behind that question is possibly, is there any regrets or things that you would change? And so I mean, at the time, I don't think I have any major regrets from med school. I think you can only know what you know at the time, and I think you try your best. And actually, mistakes made or the tough times can actually be some of the best things when you look back on it. So maybe, you know, I would say to myself, you know, just to lean into those things that bring the meaningful things. And that's sort of almost like an intuition. So there's some things that are actually quite hard, but you can tell, like, it just emerges to yourself that it's something you need to do. And so I would say to lean into that more if I had the chance again, and not brush some stuff off, looking for an easier way. And then I would just say, stay curious. I would have told myself to do more, even 1 week of an elective, do a half day in another clinic. To this day, I still remember things from like a 1 week, for example, like a menopause clinic that I use all the time with my patients, from lessons I learned from just that one little bite of this one sort of niche clinic that I had the opportunity to go see. So I think, especially in the generalist world, it's like, see everything, stay curious, and then you'll never get bored for sure, and you'll keep learning.
Well, Eric, thank you so much for your time. When I think about you in our class, I just see how much you enjoyed doing things, your big smile, and you just really made an effort to keep everyone included in all the things that we do. And, you know, I think it takes people who are ready just to make sure that the space is good for everyone to belong and be together. So I really appreciate, you know, our friendship in that way, and the way that you contributed to our class. So I think your patients really benefit from that. And what I know of you and how you want to move so thoughtfully in how you practice, that, yeah, what a benefit to your patients, but also to your colleagues at these clinics that you're at. Just one more time, thank you so much for coming and participating in this, and we'll look forward to catching up again sometime down the road.
Thanks so much. It was great talking with you, and I can't wait to see you.